I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio. 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 Radio.
Hello. Hello. How you doing? My name is Bart. Welcome to Art Cop Radio show number 133, probably. Glad you can make it. Got a big fun show for you today. Once again, these shows are getting easier. Can't explain it. But, you know, I've been complaining for 130-something shows. It's so hard to do, and the last couple were kind of easy, so I'm getting worried. Good news generally doesn't come my way, so if something happens on the positive side, I get worried for what's waiting for me. Let's see what's in the big, big show today. We're going to start out with, I need to slap John McCain around a little bit. He's not the worst fascist of all time, but he needs slapping. I'm figuring on the man to do it. We have a little thing about Facebook. You know what Facebook is? I've heard of it before, but didn't really know much about it. I think I need to get involved into the Facebook. Going to talk a little bit about everybody's favorite politician, Dennis Kucinich. Who doesn't like Dennis Kucinich besides the right-wing bastards? I hate them. Have I told you how much I hate them? Stealing a little bit from Mike Malloy there. Then we got the dark, dark, dark part of show 133. We're going to have a frank and honest discussion about waterboarding. They want you to think waterboarding is for, oh, it's the kind of thing you do for a kindergartner got out of line. But no, for the first time ever in your whole life, I'm going to explain what waterboarding is. It's going to be a little tough to hear, but you need to hear it. But I put a warning in there for you sheepish, squeamish types. I put a warning in there so you can fast forward through the truth. If the truth is causes your throat to swell up and your eyes to itch, you don't want to see this because this is all the truth. What else? We got something on the Obama race wars. We have a little Frank talk about some marijuana laws. We got some of this, some of that. Oh, it's guaranteed to be a fun, fun time. Got no time to waste, so let me get the shot at Chinako out the way. But hey, I know this is going to excite you. I found a new way to sip the Chinako. And this goes back to, we'll say, my days in the 80s and 90s. I figured this out totally by accident. But if you take a little teeny tiny, you know how you're supposed to drink tequila in little teeny tiny sips. Well, I figured out, I don't know if this is going to work on the radio or not, but you take a little tiny bit of tequila and you push it like up in your gums, like between your front teeth, you know, north of your front teeth, between your teeth and your outer lip, whatever. And you hold it there for just a minute. And it naturally will kind of seep out. It'll kind of leak out. You think, oh boy, because that's killer when it, you know, it leaks out and you get that killer taste on your tongue. But what comes next was totally amazing. I didn't know, but it will numb your gums. I didn't know that. It should be called tequila cocaine. But it's very odd. I did this by accident. I think I was watching the game last Sunday, and I just did a little teeny tiny sip, and I kind of just for grins pushed it up there, and oh, the taste was fine too, but then when your gums get numb, it kind of brings me back to the disco 80s, if you know what I'm talking about. And I was very surprised, but if you haven't had the numb gums in a long, long time like me, you might find it kind of interesting. Oh, we're going to try it right now. Hold on. Oh, I loves me a bottle of Chinako. I got a bottle of Chinako in the mail today. Not today, but recently, since the last show. From a fellow we'll call Elam, E-L-A-M. Oh, he's a nice guy. Fixed him up with, well, put it this way. I fixed him up with the year of, I fixed him up with the year of Park Up Radio for every bottle he sent. Let me just put it that way. Okay, here we go. We're going to try the gun, the gun numbing little tiny, tiny shot Chinako. Okay, so it's up there. Now it's leaking. Wow. Oh, that's so nice. Now my gums are numb. I've been to the dentist. Okay, that's enough tomfoolery. Let's get into the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Like the dog bite, like the bee sting, I don't feel so fucking bad. Rains on sunroses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with spoons. These are a few of my favorite things. Two colored ponies and crisp apples.
All right, let's talk about those idiot Democrats for a minute and how they can't debate themselves out of a wet toilet paper bag to save their lives. What's wrong with the Democrats? How can they possibly be this ineffectual, this stupid, this unimaginative, this unable to learn after being in political life for, you know, 20, 30 years, and they still don't have a damn clue? And I'm talking about the war. I heard John McCain say it the other day, and it pissed me off. I'm not the greatest debater in the world, but if John McCain got in a debate with me, I would smoke his bony ass. John McCain was whining about the liberals want to surrender. Well, no, John, that's not what we have. If America had been invaded, say, by the darn Mexicans. Oh, no, the Mexicans always wanting our white women again. If we were invaded by Mexico, when someone's attacking you and you say, let's stop fighting, that's a surrender to the attacker. But when we go 10, 12,000 miles away from home and invade somebody for no reason and then realize what we've done is a great mistake, to stop attacking a helpless backwards country 10, 12,000 miles away is not a surrender. That's getting your damn head straight on your shoulders and pulling out of a mistake. If you're doing something wrong and stupid, stopping often is the right move. But the Democrats can't figure that out. I wonder why that is. John McCain said, and all the Republicans do, including that big-ass monkey in the White House. Oh, the Democrats, they just want to surrender. Well, no, you invaded. You started a fight. Think about it. You know, I always like to reduce things to a low personal level. Say you're in a bar, and you don't like the way some guy looks, you know, on the bar stool, four bar stools down. So you start some shit with a guy. And you start smacking him around. And after a while, somebody says, hey, man, why don't you quit picking on the little guy? You say, no, no, I can't surrender. And they're going, no, dumbass, that's not a surrender. We're asking you to quit beating up the little guy. How is that a surrender? But the Democrats, they are so helpless, they can't figure that out. The next time John McCain or any Republican says the Democrats want to surrender, why don't they call them on it? Why don't they say, hey, a million dead Iraqis. Maybe we could mention that when we talk about the surrender option. You know, we say we killed a million of them somehow. And all these pious Christians, they go to church and they, you know, what's the first rule of Christianity? Do unto me what you would do unto the less than me or whatever that thing is. They just kill 150,000 darkies and that's what Jesus wanted. Well, no, I am so much closer to Jesus than you right-wing bastards and I don't even believe in the guy. It's just crazy. But so the next time you hear Bush and McCain and these other monkeys, Lieberman among them, talk about, oh, the Democrats are all for surrender. Well, yeah, we'd like to surrender our bloody advancement into other people's business, other people's countries, other people's societies. It's not our job. But Bush doesn't mind sending 4,000 brave soldiers to their death because he's got some idea about democracy. Oh, and I heard Bill Maher say this the other day. Here's the monkey in Saudi Arabia talking about American security will come through democracy in the Middle East. And he's given this speech in Saudi Arabia where women can't vote or drive or own property or anything. Remember, that's where they, if you rape a woman, they put her in jail. Way to go. So Bush is over in that country. Oh, and while he was there, he gave him a $20 billion arms deal. All the time about talking about peace and democracy to the dictators. That's so crazy. But anyway, on the surrender thing, why do we let them get away with that? Because we're Democrats, because we're pussies, because we refuse to fight back. Any label they put on us, we say, okay, can I tattoo that on my head and I'll wear it forever? And the Republicans say, sure, you can do that, Democrats. We say, thank you. And then we live with that forever. We got this liberal thing stuck to our forehead. Now we got the surrender monkey thing stuck to our forehead. And we just take it. Thank you, Mr. W. Thank you, Mr. McCain. Thank you, Kissy Face. Thank you for making us out to be a bunch of wimpy pussies. If we can only get the Democrats to fight back just a little bit, and if they're stuck, can't they call or email old Bart, and I'll help them out? Third graders could do it, but if you've been in the Senate for 35 years, you don't have a fucking clue what to do. Why is that? Why is it only Republicans can think up new ideas and they throw them at the Democrat. The Democrat says, I'm sorry. And then, you know, apologizes and then gets out of the way so the Republicans can do whatever they want. That's horse hockey, but we keep falling into it every time because the Democrats are afraid to fight.
You're listening to Bark Cop Radio. A modem, a smart mouse, and the truth.
This next little bit is a throwaway, probably last 3 minutes, but sometimes I get excited and it goes 20. But I saw 60 Minutes the other night, and the third story was on the creator and webmaster of Facebook, which I didn't know a lot about, but now that I've seen it, I may have to get involved because it's a good way to keep in touch, and God knows I like to get in touch with lots of people. But she's talking to this guy from Facebook. He's 23. I think they said Facebook was worth $15 billion. That's with a B. And he, as the owner, was worth $3 billion, which I don't understand. If you own a $15 billion thing, how are you not worth $15 billion? But, you know, this whole internet thing has created a lot of unusual super millionaires. But anyway, on this Facebook deal, it's not about the Facebook or computers, whatever. It's about the damn whore press again. Leslie Stahl is talking to this guy. And she said that she'd been warned before the interview that he could be whatever the opposite of talky is. That don't expect him to go yammer, yammer, yammer on. If you ask him a question, he's liable to give you very short answers. And what pissed me off is she would ask him a question about, so how much money do you have? And he'd say, well, I've got more than some people, I guess, maybe a lot more than some people. And then she'd say, he dodged my question. And then she'd ask him another question, he'd answer it. She'd ask him a question, he'd answer it. And then she'd ask him a third question, and he'd kind of give her a little bit of the runaround or not directly answer the question. And then she'd once again look at the camera and say, he avoided my question. Why can't I get a straight answer from the guy? And I'm thinking, you bitch. Here's a 23-year-old kid who invented something kind of spectacular. I mean, if he's in the billions, my God. And you get him under the lights, and, you know, when the camera's rolling, and he dodges a question in your opinion, and you call him on it. Well, that's kind of amazing. Leslie Stahl's in her 70s, probably, and she's been interviewing politicians for decades and decades. And have you ever in your life heard Leslie Stahl say, I couldn't get a straight answer out of the guy? No, she doesn't do that. See, the whore press. If it's Mr. Bush, why did you send those 4,000 soldiers to their death? He says, well, WMD, 9/11. And they say, well, okay, next question. But when some 23-year-old kids talk about how he created Facebook or what he's worth or what is going through his mind at the time, and they don't get the answer they think they should get, they accuse the kid of dodging the question. He's 23 years old. He's a kid. He doesn't know his way around the whore media. He was stupid enough to talk to 60 Minutes. And why would a guy do that? If he got billions in the bank, which I don't know that he does, idiot said he slept on a mattress on the floor in a one-room house, which, you know, hey, dude, you got $1 billion, buy a house. You don't have to buy the Sultan's house for, you know, $800 million, but buy a damn house, or at least buy a nice, you know, don't sleep on the floor. He was all raggedy, dressed like me, you know, T-shirt and jeans kind of stuff, which fine. The whole thing that just pissed me off is the media, they'll go after the little guy. They won't go after the big guy with the 4,000 dead. They'll take any bullshit he says because he's a Republican. But, oh, by God, if there's a rumor that Bill Clinton checked out a girl's cleavage, now we got to get to the bottom of this. Now we got to stop the whole government. We got to stop Congress. We got to stop the world. We got to stop network programming. We got to get into this situation because it's important. And this poor kid from Facebook, he failed to meet expectations, so they called him out. We demand an answer. You're trying to dodge my great, great questions. How dare you not give me the answer I deserve? But she won't say that to a politician. The sons of bitches. And what kills me, of all the media, 60 Minutes is one of the most honest, I think. You know, think back, 60 Minutes, I don't know if they ever did or they rarely did anything on Monica, and that really is the test. If you're going to act like a real news organization, the famous quote from Al Franken, you know CNN is on Clinton's side because they only ran with Monica 23 hours a day, and that's the clue. If you are round the clock, nonstop, Michael Jackson, Paris Hilton, Clinton's cock, then you're not a news organization. You're just a bunch of whores. You're Entertainment Tonight. That's all you are. But if you're going to be a news organization, you should demand the policymakers that send 4,000 brave soldiers to their death, why don't you demand some accountability from them and let the 23-year-old kid from Facebook give him a break? Besides, if he's got $50 billion, he just might buy CBS and fire your dumbass.
When Martorano was released from prison last spring, he decided to return to Boston. He says he feels safe here now. Most of his enemies are dead, in prison, or on the lam.
In some cases, regret can take over a person's life. I don't get the sense that that's the case with you.
Well, maybe that's just not my temperament or my personality. Maybe it is, but you can't see it. Or maybe I can't express it the way you want it, but I have my regrets.
You seem cold. I mean, you killed 20 people, and that's all you can say about it?
I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, I wish there was none. You know, it can't change the past. I'm trying to do the best I can with the future and explain it as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
I regret it all. I can't change it.
You still a Catholic?
Sure.
I mean, you burn in hell for killing one person.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
No. At one point, maybe a couple years ago, I sent for a priest and gave him a confession. It was maybe 30 years since my last confession. But I went through the whole scenario with him and went through my whole life with him and confessed. And at the end of it, he says, well, what do you think I should give you for penance? I says, Father, you can justifiably crucify me. He laughed and says, nope, 10 Hail Marys, 10 Our Fathers, and don't do it again.
If you've been reading BartCop.com a while, or if you've been listening to a few of the radio shows, you probably heard me say before that, I don't know if it's the biggest sin, it's what I always say because it just pisses me off, but lying to yourself, I think, is the biggest sin. It's the one that's going to get you in the most trouble, it's the one that's going to ruin your marriage, it'll get you fired, it might get you killed. Lying to yourself is just a stupid thing to do, and I wish people would quit it. And I got an example for you. It's going to piss some of you people off. The more to the left you are, the more this is going to piss you off. But you need to be told. And if not me, who? And the thing I'm going to rail about, I heard this in my car yesterday, riding around Tulsa, Oklahoma in the Bartmobile. I hear Randy Rhodes. And Randy, God love Randy Rhodes. You know, I think she's the best fighter on our side in that. She's faster with facts and information than Clinton is. And that's kind of a standard. You know, if you're faster than him, you're doing pretty well. But she was doing lots and lots of complaining yesterday. She started out saying how nobody will pay any attention to John Edwards. Well, I don't know what we can do about that. If it looks like a two-person race, how interested are you going to be in the third guy? Remember in, was it 98, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were hitting home runs? Well, you know, somebody was the third biggest home run hitter that year. I don't remember who it was. You don't either. Maybe it was A-Rod. I don't know if he was playing 9 years ago. But nobody cared who number three was. So anyway, Randy Rhodes was complaining about Edwards couldn't get enough press. And then this, someone calls in and says, well, it's worse for Kucinich. What's wrong with Kucinich? And Randy, like I say, bless her heart, she makes mistakes like I do, like Mike Malloy does, like everybody does, like Hillary, like Obama, like Bill. But Randy said something like, oh, the media powers won't let him talk, and they're putting a gag on our friend Dennis Kucinich. And I understand why she has to say that, because Dennis comes on the show. If it was me, I would hope Dennis would understand. I'd say, Dennis, you're 1%, now get out of here. You got some great ideas. If I was president, I'd either want you on my cabinet or my circle of advisors, but you're not going to be president. Everybody should understand that. Everybody should admit that. Everybody should face the facts. That's one pony is not going to be under your tree next Christmas. But the whole idea that the press is holding him back, no, they're not. I mean, sure, the whore press is the whore press. That's a fact. And they went way out of the way to demonize Kucinich with this UFO bullshit, which, again, he answered stupidly. Bart, have you seen a UFO? I've seen things in the air I couldn't explain, but you're not going to hang no UFO bullshit on around my neck. That ain't going to happen. But he answered that stupidly, and he also said some stupid things like, we shouldn't have a war department, we should have a peace department. Well, yeah, that's who we want to send up against Al-Qaeda. Kucinich called for a secret meeting in Paris. Well, he'll bring roses. No, that's not how you fight Al-Qaeda. That's how you might fight somebody, but that's not how you fight Al-Qaeda. So they're talking about Kucinich and, you know, Gravel and Dowd, all these other people that can't get any traction. Well, hey, guess what? In this particular case, it's not the press's fault. It's the voters' fault. Democrats have had 15 debates,
And maybe Kucinich doesn't get equal time to the Hillarys and the Obamas. But if they've had 15 debates and he's had 15 chances, well, maybe three or four or five per debate, so call it 75 chances to speak his piece. If nobody wants to vote for the man, it's not the press's fault. It's not the fault of fate. It's not. It's because the liberals, the Democrats, don't want to vote for the guy. You can demonize everybody all you want, but at bottom line, it comes down to when they ask 100 liberals who they're going to vote for, 40 of them say Hillary, 40 of them say Obama, 10 of them say Edwards, and the stragglers are left. And it's not because of some conspiracy by the press. When you have a press conspiracy, you should call them on it. Nobody is going to vote for Kucinich. I think I saw this in Iowa. 100,000, 150,000 something people voted. Kucinich got 1,000 votes. And I'm thinking, that's strange, because like on, you listen to Randy Rhodes for a while, and like every third caller is really bad or really seriously pro-Kucinich. And that's fine. But the thing is, that is such a very sliver of a minority. If you can't hit 1%, then someone's not voting for you for a reason. It's not that they're unfair. It's not that they won't give you a microphone. It's not that you're shut out. It's not that you can't afford commercials. Ron Paul and Huckabee both have done real good with very, very little money. And I know Ron Paul set a record for fundraising, which I think there's something suspicious about that too. I think what the Ron Paul people did, don't know, wild guess, off the top of my head. I think what he's told people is, don't send me any money today. Send me money a week from Monday. Spread the word. A week from Monday, that's whatever the first of whatever month. That's the day you send in all the money. Everybody send the money that day. And then at the end of that one day, all the people who felt passionately about Ron Paul sent him some money. And then he said, whoa, look here, he broke the one-day record for bringing in money. But the whole thing with Kucinich, you people, I'm telling you this as your friend. He's not going to be president. You can stop waving the Kucinich banners and say, what about Dennis? He's not going to win. And don't blame me. Blame the Democratic voters. There's still some democracy in this country. And if they refuse to vote for him, Dennis needs to recognize that and move on. I heard some bullshit about the state of Nevada wasn't going to let Kucinich on the dais to debate the others. Well, he shouldn't be there. There should be a rule. If after 10 debates you can't break 1%, then you're out. You're gone. And that's not anti-democracy. That's pro-common sense. You can't have a 10-person debate forever and ever. And I was half joking when I said they should do it like Survivor, but after every debate, maybe they should vote somebody off. It's going to have to get down to a 2- or 3-person debate. And again, Randy was all over. We should have more choices. We should have 20 people run for president. No, we don't need that. We've already got it whittled down to a handful. Richardson recently dropped out, so we're left with Hillary, Obama, and Edwards. I don't know if there's a fourth. I doubt there is. But those are our three candidates. And they say Edwards is out of money, and if he doesn't make a big, big splash in Carolina, then he's gone, which is, I don't know how sad that is. If the people want Hillary or Obama, what, we should feel bad that the people choose those two people for their leaders? Also hearing some rumors about an Obama-Clinton ticket. I don't see it. I think Obama has burned that bridge. I think Hillary could live with whatever vice president she ends up with. Remember, did you ever hear that story? They say in 1960, they told Kennedy he should offer the vice presidency to Lyndon Johnson, and when he turned it down, then Kennedy could turn to whoever he really wanted. But then he asked LBJ to get on ticket. LBJ said, sure, I'd be proud to serve. I'm saying Hillary could end up with anybody. I would like to see her go with General Clark's when they say, that crazy bitch in a skirt, she don't know shit about fighting wars. Well, the general standing right there. George Bush was the biggest idiot on the planet, and we knew that when they elected him, unquote. But they said, well, he's got Cheney there to hold his hand, so it won't be that bad. So if that's their argument, and it was, then when they say, oh, Hillary can't be president because she doesn't know Al-Qaeda, well, the general will do okay with Al-Qaeda. So that's not a problem. But if they wanted to settle her with Obama, that would have worked. But again, Obama's got that problem. He went after the popular leader of his party, and the only way he could gain some traction was to start throwing the mud. I think it was a mistake. Some guy wrote to me the other day, said something like, my mother is very old, she's 70, 80, whatever, and she just can't stand Hillary, which, fine. And he said the big reason was she thinks she's entitled to the presidency. Well, now that sounds a little odd to me. After she says 35 years fighting, I don't know how that adds up, but we know she's got 8 in the White House and now, I guess, 8 in the Senate or 7 in the Senate. So that's 15 years. So Hillary thinks she deserves it, and that's bad. But Obama with 2 years on the national stage, and something else, it matters. I don't care if Obama was 700 years in the Illinois legislature. That doesn't mean a damn thing. You know what I know. Bob Dole knows it. American people know it. Everybody knows that doesn't mean a damn thing. Sure, it's better than nothing. Local politics is not a thing like national politics, and that's a fact. Get used to it. It struck me as funny that this lady wouldn't vote for Hillary because she thought she deserved to be president. Meanwhile, the new guy with 2 years on his resume, he thinks he should be president. And apparently, the fellow that wrote to me, that's not a problem with his mother, which, again, fine with me. Remember what I said the last issue where they pulled me back in? It would do me a whole lot of good for Obama to win this thing. If Obama wins Carolina, maybe he'll get some stuff going. But, oh, can you imagine how much trouble I'm going to be in? What if Hillary ends up the nominee and loses the nomination? It's going to be Bart's fault, and boom, I'm dead. I'm out of business. I'm gone. I'm back at the car lot. I'm in trouble. So, yeah, we need to avoid that. So, closing her up here, if you're for one of the fringe candidates, and I know, I guess Kucinich is the king of the fringe candidates in that, you hear a lot of people say, well, I like Kucinich. Well, I'm glad you do, but you don't know anyone else that does, or maybe you know one or two other people, but when you get a hall full of 8,000 people, Dennis isn't going to get 50 votes. It's not my fault. Maybe it's not even Kucinich's fault. It's just the way shit is. But don't act like the powers that be in the media have ganged up to put a... Oh, and they said... Some said the Hillary people were trying to keep Kucinich off of the Nevada debate. Well, that's a good thing. What we need is an hour-long debate with two people. It'd be nice to have an actual debate. What is today? There's a debate tonight. There's a Democratic debate tonight, Wednesday. By the time you hear this, it'll be over. But Tim the Dirty Whore and Brian Williams are going to be the persecutors.
Hell, after that phone call, now I don't remember where I am.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about Tim the Whore and Brian Wilson. Is that his name? Are going to do the persecuting tonight. And I remember last issue I said something about the Pentagon spokesman. That was Pete Wilson, I think. No, he was governor of California. So hard to keep up. But anyway, in closing, apologies to all you Kucinich backers. But if he's not going to win, wouldn't it be to everybody's best advantage to go with someone that can? I'm not saying abandon the guy. We all love Dennis Kucinich, but his ideas have been heard and, well, maybe not rejected, but we heard them all speak, and everybody wants those two or three. They don't want Kucinich. It's a fact of life, you know. Dennis is not going to be in the NBA either. Dennis is not going to be a point guard for the Chicago Bulls, and he's not going to be president. It would be my guess he accepts that he's not going to play professional basketball, but what's keeping him from accepting that he's not going to be president? He could be a jockey on a horse, and that's not, I'm not slamming the guy. Wilt Chamberlain could never have been a jockey on a horse. Neither could I. I couldn't be a jockey on a horse. I couldn't play pro basketball. Do I whine about that? No. I just realize I'm not a fit there. It's not a match. It's not going to work. So Dennis needs to get that in his head. We need to get, I love Dennis, but we need to get him off the stage. We got too much to hammer out between now and the nomination, whatever, February 5th or whenever it's going to be, to have just distractions there. It makes as much sense. We might as well have Hillary and Obama and Edwards and three stand-up comedians. Each time a legitimate candidate talks, we should have the stand-up comedian do 3 minutes. Well, no, that would be counterproductive. It would be pointless because the comedians aren't going to be president. Dennis, I'm sorry, you're not going to be president. Time for you to get out of the debates. We've all heard your ideas. We like them. We're just not ready to put you in the driver's seat to make those ideas happen.
Good morning. It's a wonderful brand new day. Good morning.
Okay, this next bit is about 12 minutes long. And it doesn't really have a lot of bad language in it, but it has your possibly disturbing imagery. So if you don't want to hear the truth about waterboarding, just go fast forward about 11 and a half, 12 minutes and get to the next bit. You might want to hear this because they try to tell you that waterboarding is when, oh, you take a little cup of water and you pour it. No, that's not what it is. That's not at all what it is. The sons of bitches are lying to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, but if you don't want to hear the truth, go forward 12 minutes.
Don't know if this next bit is going to make the show. All I can do is jump into it and see how offensive it sounds on the other side. And I'm talking about those poor bastards at Gitmo. I heard this on Randy Rhodes. Boy, if you just, is there anything, think of anything on this planet worse than being sent to Gitmo? If you think about it, I don't know if you can. Would you rather be in Gitmo or paralyzed from the neck down the rest of your life? I think I'd go with the paralyzed. Would you rather be in Gitmo or whatever, have 30 days to live? I think I'd go with the 30 days. Pretty much any scenario. You know, would you rather be in Gitmo or would you rather be tied naked to the fire ants? Pretty much, yeah, give me the fire ants, because Gitmo is not a good thing. And we need to talk about this in two respects. And one of them is just the general treatment, and then the other one is the waterboarding. I heard Randy Rose talk about this guy. It might be that Padilla. It might be the allegedly Osama's driver. But they take this poor bastard. They've been torturing him, I guess, for a while. And again, a little sidebar. If we know the guy's guilty, I don't have that big a problem with the torture. But a torture of a suspect, I don't see how you can justify that. They transported this guy to Gitmo. And the way they did that, first they put the goggles on him. Then they put the earphones on him to where he can't see anything, he can't hear anything. Then they put a hood over his head. His hands are chained behind his back. And then he's put into a box smaller than a coffin. I think she said it was 18 by 18 or 20 by 20, which means you can't scratch your knee. You can't bend over. You can't turn around. You can't do anything. He was shipped in that container. I think she said it was 18 hours. Now, I don't know where you go for 18 hours. Maybe they took him from Afghanistan and put him on a plane. And by the time he got to Gitmo, it had been 18 hours. But think about 18 hours in a box, blindfolded. You can't see. You can't hear. Your hands tied behind your back. And you're hours and hours and hours and hours in this box. The bad news is it gets worse when you get let out of the box. It's just amazing to think this is being done with our money in our name. It's just the worst thing I guess Bush has done to the country. Now here comes the gross part, and stay with me as long as you can. If you need to fast forward, I'll understand. When they explain how waterboarding works, they say, well, you put the guy on a little bench, and you get a pristine, clean hanky like Grandma had, and you put that over his face, over his mouth and nose, and then you get some perfectly clean Ozarka bottled water and drip, drip, drip on his mouth to make him think that he might be having some future trouble with the water. And that's what we've been told waterboarding is. And the sons of bitches in the whore media, I forget who, but some people have said they were waterboarded to see what happened. And I remember one guy saying he lasted, I think he said 9 minutes. But then they sold us this song and dance about this big, tough Al-Qaeda guy. You know, all those Al-Qaedas are all 10 feet tall and made of steel. They said after, I think, 15 seconds, he started talking. But they're just flat out lying to you. Now, you have to consider, if someone just knocked on your door and said, we've got a bad, bad person here, say, in this car in front of your house, and we need him broken. We need to, for you, Bart Cop, to do whatever you can to this guy. There's no rules. No rules at all. Not even the slide. You can murder him, and it's okay. You can do anything. You can cut off his fingers. You can do anything to the guy, but we want you to break him. That's what we have in Gitmo. Their job is to break the sons of bitches, whatever it takes, no matter what. That's why I'm saying that being stuck at Gitmo, I can't think of anything worse. Even no matter where you are in the world, just think about it. Son of a bitch.
Yes? Hello?
The credit card bastards. I'm okay. What bank are you with? The bitch hung up on me. They called to say, how would you like a cheaper rate on your credit card? And I'm thinking, well, don't ask me. Just reduce the rate, you sons of bitches. But they don't want to hear that. I don't even know what their scam is, because when I try to get on their little road and try to lure them into a trap, they just hang up because they're looking for somebody more stupid than Bart. Go figure. Okay, now back to this Gitmo problem. Forget where I was. God damn it, the phone would quit ringing. But they're selling you on this, you know, the deal about the reporter went through it. The reporter lasted 9 minutes. The Al-Qaeda, Superman, 10 foot tall, made of steel. He only made it 15 seconds. Oh, and we got some real good information from this guy. Oh, yeah? What information did you get? Can't tell you. It's always one of those. With the Bush family, if it's above ground and it's got sunlight on it, we're working for change. The surge is working. We're working on that. They're always working on something. They never get anything done. They never accomplish anything. They're always working towards more jobs. They're always working towards less debt. They're always getting, you get a song and dance about what their goal is, but they never make any progress ever. Okay. So on this torch business, it's not at all like I told you what happens with grandma's dainty little hanky and some Ozarka bottled water. No, the first thing they do is they all pee in a bucket, and then they all take a dump in the bucket, and then they stick your face under that water. This idea about, oh, first you get a hose, and then you get a little bottle, you get a little tin cup, then you put the little hanky on his head, and then you pour a little water. No, if anything, they get the dirtiest water. They can. Remember, they're out to kill, well, not kill, but they're out to do as much harm as they can to the other human being. Now, what if you know anything about, I don't know anything about warfare, I know a little bit about human nature. And if the goal is to inflict harm on the other helpless person, there's going to be some pretty goddamn inventive sons of bitches when it comes to how can we create pain. You know, think of just the bamboo shoots under the fingernails, or cut his testicles. There's no rules at all. You can do anything to the guy. You know, you just tell the guy, we're going to get a razor blade and we're going to slice off an eighth of an inch of your toe every hour. Now, you know, count me out. Okay, I'll tell you, I'm Al-Qaeda. I'm Osama. I had my bones were shortened. I'm only 6 foot tall, but I'm really, you know, you're going to say anything to get out of there. So the idea that this water torture stuff, they call it waterboarding. Oh, it's so cute. It's like, oh, first we get a board, and then we get a cup of water, really pure, clean water. No, they pee and they take a dump in a bucket and they hold you underwater to where you have to inhale that stuff. And then once you inhale that stuff, I don't have any idea what that's like. I assume, wild guess, that you pass out right away. I mean, what happens when you inhale a couple of pints of urine with chunks floating in it? I don't know, have no idea what that's like, but that's what it's like in Gitmo. And if I know my psychopathic brothers in the military, you know, they eventually, a couple of weeks go by, now you've got to think of it like a little kiddie pool in your backyard. It's 8 feet wide by 2 feet deep. Yeah, now you can get two or three guys at the same time in that pool full of feces and urine, and you hold their heads underwater. And the idea that they act like, oh, when they explain waterboarding to us, they act like, well, we pour a little water over their mouth and make them think that they might be drowned. No, they hold your damn head underwater until you breathe in a whole bunch of urine. And then I assume you pass out, and when you do that, maybe they pump your stomach or they clear your lungs out, and then they pop one of those capsule things under your nose, and you wake back up, and you start again. So think about that. These guys, until the end of time, they're going to do nothing but breathe and swallow urine with chunks in it, and then when they pass out, they wake them back up, they get them in a position where they can start again, and they do this until the end of time. I guarantee they've been doing this to some people since 2002. So think what it's like, 6 years. John McCain talks about how he was tortured. Guarantee there's nothing in John McCain's book about his face was held in urine and feces until he had to swallow large amounts of it. And then when he passed out, they woke him back up and made him do it again. No, the North Vietnamese weren't that cruel. Only America is that cruel. And this is what they're doing in our name with our money. And it's just kind of unbelievable. All this stuff you hear about their explanation of waterboarding is just such crap. They even talk about, oh, well, we get a little hose. We get a little trickle going on the hose. And then when we put it on grandma's sterile hanky that's over his mouth and his nose, then some water, you know, no, that's not how it works. First, they kick the guy's fucking ass. They break his kneecaps. They break his elbows. They stick cigarettes on his back. They either cut off his genitals or threaten to cut off his genitals. They make them blow each other. I mean, trust me, this is all going on. You can't think for a second that there's someone at Gitmo saying, no, hey, this is going a little too far. I don't think this is wrong. I don't think we should do it. You know, they're getting three or four guys in a room. They're putting one guy in a noose, and they're saying, we're going to hang your buddy here if you don't blow each other and do it right now. They got cameras working. They got still cameras. They got camcorders going. Then they say, yeah, now that you've done blown your buddy and your buddy's blown his stuff all over your face, now we're going to send this movie to your mother. You know, they're doing this constantly. I don't know if anyone deserves, I don't know if Osama deserves that kind of treatment. If I had Osama, a shot to the head, we're done with it. Let's move on. What kind of active intelligence are they getting out of a guy they kidnapped in 2002? What is he going to tell them in 2008 that he didn't tell them after 6 years, after 5 or 6 years of torture, he hasn't told them yet? What's he going to know now? And the idea of who's in charge and where they're located and what are their capabilities and what are their plans? Well, if you've been in Gitmo for 5, 6 years, you don't have a goddamn idea at all what somebody's up to. But they're still being tortured every day. And it makes you wonder what these guys that come home from Gitmo, these American soldiers that go down there, it would be amazing to talk to somebody, someone who maybe he signed up for the interrogation specialist job, and then after a couple of weeks or a couple of days or a couple of minutes, he thought, no, this isn't for me. I can't do that to another human being. I just couldn't consider myself a human being, my own self, if I was going to do that to somebody. But the other end of that spectrum, there are some guys that get off on that. Ha ha, did you see what I did to this guy? Wait till you see what I'm going to do to the next guy. They said the whole point with Abu Ghraib, the prison, they said that was nothing. Nothing compared to what they do at Gitmo. And I believe that 100%. At Gitmo, you know, the whole reason they're in Gitmo is because they're not on American soil, so they don't have to obey any laws. It's legal to torture and maim and rape and murder and maim and rape and murder and maim and torture as long as they want forever and ever till the end of time. This is what America does. This is what America's become under Bush. Kind of makes me sick. How does it make you feel?
Another hour of soul power.
You're listening to BarkCop Radio, because vicious extremists cannot be appeased.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the great race wars of early 2008 between the Democrats and the Democrats. Now, I'm going to say some things here that piss you off, but you really should get to the end of the rant before you fire off your hot little email to me or whatever, because don't take a sentence I say and say, oh, that must mean X and Y, and then go off on some wild road. No, I'm asking you to stay with me till we finish the bit. Then if you got a problem with something I said, I would love to hear from you. I really would. And talk about the old Oklahoma coach, Barry Switzer. I read Barry's book years ago, and I liked it. I liked Barry. If I had a pro team, I'd have Barry coaching it. But in his biography, Barry told a story about Muhammad Ali that I thought was funny and poignant and insightful and, what's that word, illuminating. Barry Switzer and Muhammad Ali and a bunch of sports people were doing some kind of like an ESPN show, whatever, in Vegas. And they, I don't know how this works, but they had a buffet involved. And maybe it was before the show or after the show, all the people got in line at the buffet and they're going through the buffet. And Muhammad Ali is right next to Barry Switzer. And apparently they had never met. And so they're standing there, and I guess they recognized each other. At least everybody knows who Ali is. And Barry Switzer said, champ, boy, it's great to meet you. How about that? Look, there you are, Muhammad Ali standing right there. He said, you're a lot bigger in person than, you know, I realized. And Muhammad Ali, being a joking guy, he said, huh? Who are you calling nigger, boy? And Barry Switzer's going, no, 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 no. And, you know, everybody bust out laughing because Barry realized, oh, he's putting me on. But that's what Obama did this week, and I don't understand why. Now, here, don't go crazy. Now, we're going to talk about this for a little bit because I've got the exact quote in my hand. The effing whore press. They've poured all the gasoline they could on this, but there was no gasoline to pour until Obama took the ball and ran with it. You know, if you say, gee, Barack, you're quite a bit bigger, say, in the polls than I thought. And he says, who you calling nigger? And then he runs, calls a press conference. Would somebody make the Clintons stop calling me nigger? I'm just tired of it. All their nigger, 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 nigger. Can't someone make them stop? What I'm talking about is this fairy tale comment. The reason we need to talk about this is because I spent all day, I found the transcript of what Clinton said in the U.S. Whore Today. So I thought, aha, I'll settle this. So I went on the U.S. Whore Today website, and it wasn't there. They printed the story. What is it? They printed the main story, and in the paper they have a little sidebar, which is exactly what a sidebar is, saying, here's the exact quote. And I'm going to read you the exact quote. Are you ready? This is what Bill Clinton said about Obama at a January 7th campaign rally for his wife at Dartmouth College. Are you ready, listener? Here we go. It is wrong that Senator Obama got to go through 15 debates trumpeting his superior judgment and how he had been against the war. There's no different in your voting record and Hillary's ever since. Give me a break. This whole thing is the biggest fairy tale I've ever seen. And so Obama or Obama's people didn't see it personally, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They said, oh, how dare the former president say that my candidacy is a fairy tale? He's peeing on all black people. And the press thought, oh, this is hot. So a black person accused the Clintons of racism. This is the hottest story since Monica. It's going around the globe in a couple of seconds. It'll put the Clintons on defense to where they may stumble. We might be able to get rid of the Clintons. We might be able to stop Hillary, because that's the job of the press, to stop Hillary and praise Obama. So the Obama people took this and ran with it. Oh, why is Bill Clinton attacking the black people? Why is that? And that's a really, really stupid thing to do. But the Obama's got a problem. He's fighting basically the head of his party, who is pretty popular. Remember, she was 20 points ahead of everybody before this mudslinging started, before, I don't know exactly where it turned. Remember, we talked last issue, some of it turned in Pennsylvania when she couldn't answer the driver's license question real good. But, you know, she was ahead for a whole long time. But then when the press and the people started paying a bunch of attention, the whore press got involved, and the whole time the Obama gangs went, yeah, go get him, go get him. And that's a real bad thing to do. And so now we got this. Maybe it's over by now. I'm recording this on the, it's a Wednesday, so I give up, 15th, 16th, something like that. So maybe it's starting to slow down now, but it was Obama's war to start with. And the idea that Obama said, you're attacking my presidency as a fairy tale because everybody knows how blacks are too stupid to run. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Clinton? Huh? And of course, he said nothing of the sort. He said that, I just read you exactly what he said. After he talked about the distortion of the war record, he said, this whole thing is the biggest fairy tale I've ever seen. Obviously, talk about the subject that he was on at the time, which was the distortion of Obama's record. And a little sidebar to that, when Hillary was on Meet the Whore, she said Obama gave a speech in 2002, but he didn't do anything about it. He was quiet in 03. He was quiet in 04. Matter of fact, in 04, when he did the big speech at the convention, he didn't bother to mention anything about the war. He said, because he wanted to be nice to Kerry and Edwards, he didn't want to, you know, upset their apple cart with his opposite ideas. But that just proved his point that he is political, that he'll give up his political, and that doesn't make him bad. It just makes him a politician. Everybody's like, oh, he's different. He's got change, you know, which is crap. Anyway, in 04, he kind of denied it. And then in 05, 06, and 07, voted for the war. That should be to fund the war. And Hillary told all that to Tim the Whore, and Tim the Whore didn't say, that's not right, that didn't happen. You know, that's part of the thing. When you get in a debate, if you say something, you know, if you're not sure, the other guy should at least say, well, I'm not sure about that, but I don't have the facts with me, so we'll let it go. You should at least mention it. If George Bush were to say, I fought valiantly in Vietnam for six tours and took a lot of shrapnel and took, you know, I was wounded several times, and his debate opponent says, good for you, George, well, that kind of means it happened. If you allow the guy to say something in a debate and don't mention it, that means you're accepting what he says as a fact. Timmy the Whore didn't call Hillary on it, and I don't have the time to look it up, so I'm going to assume it's true. But anyway, shame, shame, shame on the Obama people. Apparently this did happen, and Obama tried to get as much as he could out of the race card against the Clintons, the first black president. Boy, that's a dumb move. Now we get on to part two, about Hillary insulting Martin Luther King. Another really stupid idea. And it was odd that these two came like 1-2. Really came a little like a 1-2 punch there. But I'm going to read you what Hillary said. What Hillary Rodham Clinton said about Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, it was the same day, a January 7th interview on Fox News. Dr. King's dream began to be realized when LBJ passed the Civil Rights Act in 1964, when he was able to get through Congress, something that JFK was hopeful to do. The president before had not even tried. That would be Eisenhower. But it took a president to get it done. The dream became a reality. The power of that dream became real in people's lives because we had a president who said we're going to do it and actually get it done. Now, they took that as a slight against Martin Luther King, which I don't understand. It took government action to pass a law, obviously, by definition. When you pass a law, that's a government function, whether it's local or statewide or federal. All the marching in the world, all the dreams, all the hopes, all the chanting, all the praying, all the marching, all the holding hands, all the singing, we shall overcome. That didn't do it. I mean, it sure propelled the thing into motion. But until a politician said, let's make this a law, and I'm going to browbeat you and blackmail you into voting for it, that's how it happened. You know, it's a whole lot like Al Gore and the internet. One guy can't sit down in his house and create the internet. No, they needed the government to put that through. Whatever, the internet started in, what, the early 80s when one university emailed another university and they thought, hey, we're onto something here. But to set up a worldwide network, it took a government to get that going, and that's how Al Gore got saddled with, I invented the internet, which he never said. And again, the whore press, doesn't it make you wonder? The whore press in 2000 did everything they could to sabotage Gore's campaign. They made shit up again and again. Love Canal, and I invented the internet, and they, you know. But, Mr. Gore, how could you be the inspiration for Love Story if your wife is still alive? You idiot. He just took it, like Kerry did. But the author of the book said he used Al Gore as a composite for the character. But the press wouldn't take the author's word for it. They said, oh, no, no, Al Gore must be, he must be crazy. Al Gore's crazy. Now, see, that same press is going after the Clintons this time, and I don't understand why the good Democrats, the good liberals, they don't see that. Oh, the press is doing an honest job, calling it straight down the middle, just like they should. It just drives me crazy to think a whole lot of my readers and a whole lot of Democrats think the press is doing a great job suddenly because they're saying great things about Obama and slurring the hell out of the Clintons. But the idea that you're going to start a race war and accuse the Clintons of being bigots is just really crazy. And why would Obama do that? If it's late in the race, if it's October 15th and you're 10 points behind, now you got to do something. Now you need the Hail Mary. Now you got to go all in. Now you got to do something. Your time's running out. You got to do something. Got to do it now. There's no more time to wait. But it's a year before the election, or 11 months. So why would Obama do that? It seems like a very, very bad political move. There is a rumor going around. Don't know why we can't get this sourced. It's either true or it's not. There was thousands of people there. Every network was there. But they said when Obama did his Iowa victory speech, he was played on to Jay-Z's, I think it's him, got 99 problems, but the bitch ain't one. And I read just a few minutes ago, Gene Lyons wrote, surely Obama's not that stupid. He said, I don't think it happened only because Obama can't be that stupid. He just can't be, is what Gene Lyons said. Other organizations, you know, it's been not like I saw it on a website. A news organization said that he did that, but nobody knows. It's like a big mystery. And it would tell me that he probably did do it, but the press, again, is covering for Obama. And maybe the press just wants a more exciting candidate. Maybe they're tired, you know, we've been through all the Clintons' dirty laundry. They want new dirty laundry to go through. But if Obama gets the nomination, the day he gets the nomination, the press is going to turn on him and say, oh, now we're going to find out but what's really behind the real Obama. Then they're going to go and investigate after he's got the nomination. And it should make you, if you're an Obama supporter, that don't make you crazy. It probably makes you naive in that you don't understand. You're willing to accept the whore press's arguments suddenly after all these decades of the whore press going crazy against Democrats and loving the Bush family and the Republicans. Suddenly they turned on a dime. Now they're honest when it comes to the Clintons and the Obamas. That's a little crazy. Recently saw a show on the History Channel. It was entitled The History of Drugs. And I'm not real impressed with those History Channel people because I caught many, many mistakes or errors of omission, whatever, in their show. One of them, they use phrases like, he became addicted to marijuana, which he can't do. As a matter of fact, in that show, they showed, it was either Reagan's or Nixon's drug advisor saying, the two most important findings we came up with concerning marijuana is A, that it's not addictive, and B, that the problems that go along with marijuana arrests are much greater than the marijuana itself, which is true. But then they were talking about the history of marijuana, and you wouldn't believe, I'll bet you don't know this, and I don't know this true, because like I say, the History Channel, but according to them, marijuana became illegal because of the Depression. They said that when the Depression hit, seemed like the Depression hit around 1929, 1930, and it lasted for 6 or 8 years, well, maybe till World War II. When the Depression came, a whole lot of people were out of work, and turns out there were some Mexicans that were standing in the same line as the white people, and we can't have that. So they tried to figure out how can we get rid of the Mexicans so we can have more jobs for white people? And someone said, well, hey, that's stuff they smoke. Let's make that illegal so anyone caught possessing it or transporting it or smoking it or whatever, we can make them illegals and throw them out of the country or arrest them so the white guy can get the job. About this time, William Randolph Hearst, which is Patty Hearst's grandfather, who if you've ever seen Citizen Kane, you know what kind of hand job this guy is. He's a whole lot like Gerardo Revolver or, you know, Fox News that just say or print anything to make a good story. And William Randolph Hearst started doing all these stories about the marijuana menace, how one puff would make the black man rape the white woman and one puff would make you insane. You've seen all the movies. And so the Southwest states start pressuring the federal government to do something about the too many Mexicans in the area problem, so they made pot illegal. Now, isn't that the craziest damn thing? And they said as recently, seems like in, they told this long and convoluted story that pot was legal if you had a pot stamp, and you couldn't buy a pot stamp unless you showed that you had some marijuana in your hand, so that made you guilty. So, you know, you couldn't have any pot without a pot stamp, couldn't buy the pot stamp without some pot, which would get you busted, so nobody could buy it. Oh, and they also said the government didn't print up any pot stamps, or they printed up, you know, 25 and put them in a drawer, so you couldn't have. So it became an idiotic hand job, like all drug laws are, most of them anyway. And I did not know this, but apparently in the late 60s, Timothy Leary challenged that law. He went to the Supreme Court and said, what a bunch of crap here. The law says you have to have a stamp, but you can't have a stamp unless you're already arrested for having the drug. That's kind of stupid. The Supreme Court agreed, go figure. And for a period of time, apparently in late 68, early 69, marijuana was legal, because then they passed the Marijuana Act of 69, or maybe it was 70. But there was a few months in there where pot was legal, but then they passed the law in 1970 saying, okay, you don't need a pot stamp, but it's extra bad for you because there's no medical use for marijuana. But then the doctors all stood up and said, well, yes, there is. It increases your appetite, and it makes some pain go away, et cetera, et cetera. But they said, no, God doesn't want you to be happy. God wants you to be in pain. God wants you to die because you have no appetite and you can't eat, and so you shrivel up and die. That's what God wants. And if you have to die for God's wishes, then that's just the way it's going to be. So I thought it was worthy of mention. If you get a chance, check that out on History Channel. It's 8 years old. They said as we approach the turn of the century, pot laws are still not much different than they used to be, whatever. But yeah, a whole lot's happened in the last 8 years. It'd be nice if History Channel could update their documentaries more than every 8 years. Pot laws have always been an idiotic idea. The idea that, I remember years ago, Ann Coulter debated pot laws with Bill Maher back when the show was live on ABC. And she kept saying, but it's illegal. That's why it's harmful. And it's like, Bill Maher's going, no, you stupid, crazy bitch. It's not harmful because it's illegal. You can't pass a law and suddenly a substance 1,000 miles away becomes harsher for you. That doesn't make any sense at all. Of course, Ann Coulter lost the argument. She's against it. And you can't argue drug laws logically because it always comes down to God doesn't want you to do that. Oh, it destroys families. Well, not like whiskey. Whiskey destroys a whole lot more families than marijuana does. Anyway, drug laws suck. I know it. You know it. Bob Dole knows it.
So my job is to keep the lights on here and try to keep it going. And try to keep everybody happy. I want the people to come back as quickly as possible.
And to entertain in America during an important election season. You know, well, I mean, people need to hear how silly the candidates are. You know, I saw you had Mike Huckabee on.
Right.
I've had Mike Huckabee on a lot. He's apparently the Republican front runner now. I like him. He's a very personable guy.
Right.
But, you know, he's a religious fanatic. We're in a war with religious fanatics. Okay. The reason why we can't win the war with religious fanatics is because we have our own religious fanatics. Our edge in this war was always that, yes, we have religious leaders in this country, but we just don't listen to them. The Muslims listen to their... If they say, chop off the head of the homosexuals, they do it. We don't do that here. The Pope says a lot of things. No premarital sex. Oh, thank you very much. Sorry. Kids, look, it's the Pope. You know, he's just a big Catholic celebrity. That's, you know, he's a big Catholic celebrity.
That's all it is.
It's like, you know.
should be like a float, the Pope float, you know? Just
you thought
no
people...
masturbation. Oh, kids, look, he's doing his greatest hits. It's the Pope.
But it's true. Yeah. I mean, the public needs us to point this out because they don't read newspapers anymore. They don't get their news any other way. Right. We actually fill a function in society, right, pointing out how stupid people are, especially when they're running for office.
Now, let me ask you, I want to ask you about this last week, Hillary found her voice in New Hampshire. I wanted to hear your take on that.
Well, you know, it amused me because, I mean, she's been going around saying for the last year that she's had 35 years of experience. But she just found her voice? There's a term for that, slow learner. You know, and I like Hillary, and I think it's awful what they're saying about her with this Martin Luther King
Yeah,
thing.
See, I think that was a totally, that seems like one of those railroaded
yeah,
things.
I mean, it's,
I don't think she meant anything.
She just said the truth, excuse me. It doesn't take anything away from right. Martin Luther King, who was a great leader. And he said, I have a dream. Yes, a dream is fantastic. But you need wonks and nerds to make the dream into legislative reality.
Right.
That's what she did. I mean, that's what people like her did, and that's what she wants to do. The Republicans would like to cast Hillary Clinton as some sort of dangerous, subversive, you know, Che Guevara in a pantsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish she was that exciting. Excuse me. I mean, Rudy Giuliani says she's going to bring socialized medicine. It sounds like Stalin himself is going to give you an enema in your sleep. I mean, give me a break. Rudy says he would not have survived his cancer, his prostate cancer. He said in England, where they have socialized medicine, his chances of survival were 44%. And here in America, they were 82%. Well, they did some checking, and these are figures like the cancer that were pulled right out of Rudy's ass. Awesome.
Well, there you had it. Bark Up Radio, show number 133 is in the can, and my gums are still numb. Actually, I'm kidding. I do the closer right here. I'm kidding you. I do the closer right here. I do the closer right after I do the opening. Apparently, it numbs your brain, too. I can't talk. But, yeah, my gums are still numb. Feels like the old days. I never had so much fun as when Reagan was in office. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a subscriber. Thanks for sending the occasional check in the mail. Jeez, I got the same spiel every show. You'd think I'd have it down by now. And if you're listening without subscribing or sending an occasional check in the mail, shame, shame, shame. And if you do send me a check in the mail, if you write love on the four line, I'll still know what to do with your check if you get my address. But if you write love, that makes it a non-taxable transaction, and it helps to defund the war. Tell you what, if you're for more soldiers dying, put subscription on the check. If you're for more soldiers dying, if you're for fewer soldiers dying, put love on the little subject line and paperclip a little note to it. Say, this is for a t-shirt, this is for some stickers, this is for whatever. So I'm going to get to work on show number 134. This is Bark Up saying goodbye. Shirley, take it home.
Yeah. Taking me over.